everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Celebrating the all-time touchdown record every time it's broken. When it's going to be broken again and again and again over the next couple weeks. It's a great idea for comedy. Knocking over every drink, retrieving the ball that just knocked over every drink. That's just plain evil. Let's go.
Fill them all. Fill them all.
That first one was a beer. I think the second one was a maybe a non-alcoholic White Claw. Is that possible? Can I get a non-alcoholic White Claw? Let's talk nostalgia. Nobody does nostalgia like they used to. These videos going around today of every touchdown pass Breeze has thrown, they're great. You forget it was 5 years in San Diego. But the list of all the receivers who have caught touchdown passes from Breeze, look at these names. Keenan McCardell, wow. Michael Humanawani, Tim Dwight, Nick Toon. I love that stuff. All right. That Breeze got to 540 and 541 then and set that record on a night he went 29 of 30 and set the completion percentage record is just silly, and it's very on brand for Drew Breeze in Monday night. So, Tim Kalish, I'll start with you. What did we just witness?
Tony, you know the key to life and the key to this show. You know what it is.
Timing,
yes, that's exactly what it is. And Drew Brees' whole career going to New Orleans and doing all the things he and Sean Payton did right after Katrina and all the rest. Everything is predicated on timing. Here's the 10th anniversary or the 10 years of since they beat the Colts in the Super Bowl, and those players are there. It's Monday Night Football, and he goes, not only does he go past Payton, he goes 29 for 30. He sets a personal record, 22 straight completions. Got to mention Michael Thomas. He gets at least an asterisk in all this stuff Drew Brees is doing because he catches everything Drew Brees throws to him. But it just, you know, even Drew Brees was dumbfounded at how it all came together last night.
Sarah Spain, what did you witness last night?
Well, as ESPN's Mike Triplett pointed out, the schedule makers really have to get the best credit for this, for canceling out those five games he was going to miss due to injury, still figuring out that he was going to do it on a Monday night to break yet another record, which he always does on Monday Night Football. Yeah. What we saw was just a guy who's durable and efficient and accurate and excellent at what he does. This is a legacy to a guy that, you know, has never been the MVP, never been the guy that everyone says is the best, playing around a number of other great quarterbacks and maybe not getting enough credit for what he's done. I mean, Drew Brees doesn't show any signs of slowing down either at 40. And to Tim's point of timing, there was a stretch right after he came back where he didn't look that great. And actually, there was some conversation about how the Saints looked better with Bridgewater out there. Well, not recently. He has kicked it back into high gear. Michael Thomas looks amazing. And good signs for Saints fans.
Jackie McMullen, Drew Brees last night setting the two records he set. What did you witness?
Well, you witnessed someone that we should have paid a little closer attention to. And I think he, you know, he grew up in the NFL, if you will, during a time where we were so focused on Manning versus Brady. We spent a lot of time on that. These two great quarterbacks going head to head. Meanwhile, Drew Brees just kind of went along. Now, the one thing that hurt him is that he didn't win a gazillion Super Bowls like Tom Brady has. But how the narrative, oh, there's that
word.
I think
it's close enough. All right, go ahead, Jack.
Here.
Okay. but we keep talking and talking and talking. Will Tom Brady play any longer? Can he keep playing? I'm the TB12 method. No one ever talks about how long will Drew Brees play. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to predict that Drew Brees is going to play a lot longer than Tom Brady, and that Tom Brady will never catch him with this record because he looks like, to me, like a quarterback who is in the prime of his career. And my friend Tom Brady doesn't particularly look the same at this
moment. Ramona Shelburne?
Did Jackie McMullen just talk her way out of a ban?
No, she got it. She absolutely got it. Let the record show she got it. But you know what you just did? You talked your way into a ban. How about that, Ramona Shelburne?
Look, I think what we saw is exactly the way Drew Brees has done it his entire career. The guy goes 29 for 30, and afterwards, he's asked about, you know, his game, breaking the record, etc. He goes, you know, if I would have set my feet and hit the running back, I would have gone 30 for 30, a perfect for 30. I'm going to be thinking about that one the whole time. I mean, that's how Drew Brees has done this. He's just efficient. He works. He pays attention to detail. He's kind of chipped away at this, and as everyone has said, like, we've been he's never been in that conversation with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, but he certainly should be. And if he wins one more Super Bowl, I think he goes up into the next tier.
Oh, and that's certainly in play. Now, New Orleans looking like they're locked in for a home game, maybe even home field throughout in the NFC. Let's kick around that idea, though, because he's number one in the two most important counting stats in the game, yards and touchdowns. You know, where he ranks all time in the QB position. NFL is about to release their top 10 or top 100, and they released 10 per position, so they're about to release their top 10 quarterbacks. Tim Kalishaw, can he crack that 10? Is he in the top 2 or 3 in his era when you consider maybe Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Favre, Kurt Warner, if you open it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think he's top 10, and I think you can put him top 3 in this era if you really look at what he's done and what Aaron Rodgers has done. And you know, we look at Aaron Rodgers, and he seems like the perfect prototype quarterback, but at the end, Drew Brees' numbers, I think, are going to blow away Aaron Rodgers. Now, they're tied in a big one. They've each been to a Super Bowl and won one, and we expected a little more from both quarterbacks and their teams. That second one could mean a lot, not for this particular top 100, but for his all-time.
Does anybody think a second Super Bowl for Brees could put him above Peyton Manning? Sarah Spain?
That's tough. Peyton Manning won 5 MVPs, and for whatever reason, Brees has never been considered the best in his own era. But I think if you look at some of the statistics, there's stuff like Brees being tied for 15th in interceptions while Brady's down at 42nd. You know, I think those counting statistics, when you flesh them out, will tell maybe a different story. But I do think the Super Bowls in the end are what most people look at when they try to talk about the greatest as opposed to the most efficient or the most accurate.
We move on. Come get me. Who said it? Every Brown, apparently. This report from Michael Silver, NFL Network. Multiple players saying, come get me to Cardinals before and during the Browns game Sunday. Jarvis Landry was named as one. Come get me, allegedly what Odell Beckham said to multiple teams before games this season. And then Kareem Hunt, flat out saying team took plays off Sunday. Ramona, what are you doing with this information?
I mean, this team is unraveling. Like, this is a team that had grand expectations and obviously fell way short of that. But when you get stories like this coming out of every single game that they're playing right now and everybody pointing fingers at each other, they've got to do something totally different next year because that's too much talent for them to be pointing fingers and having the kind of season where they ended up.
Jackie Mack, we all agree they're unraveling. Is this a reflection of the coach or the players?
Well, there's no way you could say leave one without the other. It's a reflection on both of them because the coach, if he's doing his job, has a good pulse on his locker room and can control the message that his players are sending out to the rest of the league. Clearly, that's not happening. But in the end, it always comes down to the players. It's not Freddie Kitchens' fault that guys are actually yelling across the field, come get me? Are you kidding me? They should be ashamed of themselves. Yeah. And that's a reflection on your coach, your entire franchise. I don't think it helps that Baker Mayfield, who we thought was going to be this strong, sort of arrogant, step-aside kind of leader, has struggled the last few weeks. He's now 17 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. We expected more from him, and we expected more from
this
team.
Not the last few weeks. It's all 14 weeks of the season. Sarah Spain, what do you hear when you hear players say, come get me? What is that?
Well, I mean, we know the place is toxic. We know that the coach has never had control. And we know that the players now are being morons. Because, listen, you can want to get out, slide into someone's DMs and tell them. Go call somebody and tell them you want to switch teams and you want to go somewhere else. Yelling it across the field when you know people can hear you, especially when we already heard a report of the same thing from Odell Beckham Jr. back in October, is just moronic. I also like that we're really shocked that people are like, get me out of Cleveland. They won like a couple games last year and suddenly we think Cleveland's the place to be. Of course they want out.
Tim Kalischow.
Just an unbelievable disaster, even by Browns standards. You think about Kareem Hunt is now the guy saying, this is not the way we can play. It's not the way we can. We got to do things. A year ago, that guy on Hard Knocks was Jarvis Landry, yeah, doing it with that great rant in the wide receiver room. Now he's the guy saying, come get me. So a year from now, we don't know what Kareem Hunt
Ramona, will be saying. Did you want to add something to something Sim just said? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, in Hard Knocks, they had us all going, right? Like, we all wanted to believe. And this is a team that didn't win a game a couple of seasons ago, and yet somehow this feels worse. It's staggering.
Well, I don't know. Expectation means a lot, right? I mean, that people thought they were going to make the playoffs this year, win the division this year. They're not doing that. We're moving on. We're not getting respect. Who said it?
The full respect of the entire league at this point, based on some of our performances, where we got beat by a couple scores and kind of the reaction, I would assume, to those situations. I like our chances. I like our football team.
Sarah, how do you hear Rodgers there?
I'm glad he likes their chances and likes their football team because that's all that matters. They beat the Chiefs, they beat the Vikings, and then they had some really bad losses to the Chargers and to the Niners. They slipped past a couple teams that they should have blown out. Maybe they haven't showed us enough to get our respect. It doesn't matter whether they have it as long as they respect themselves.
Tim Kalischow?
They're not getting respect because their offense doesn't deserve respect. It looks nothing like the Packers' offenses we were used to seeing. Beyond Devontae Adams, they have a bunch of undrafted or very late-round pick receivers that they're ranking near the bottom in every offensive category the last month, and they're winning close games with their defense.
Ramona Shelburne?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is completing 59% of his passes the last four games. He's not really one to talk right now, but they're winning games. And I think at this point, like, sometimes you say, yeah, you're winning ugly and you don't have any confidence in them. No, they just don't look like they're rounding into form right now. But Aaron Rodgers in a playoff series, I'd put my money on him.
Well, that's the thing. You never want to bet against Rodgers in clutch situations because he's been so good. But you have this new coach and the quarterback who have sort of been back and forth a little bit, and you finally think maybe it's over. And then just the other day, Rodgers says, well, we're all used to having schemes, and these are new schemes, and we need reps, and you can't get them during the season. Why on earth are you saying that now if you believe in your football team? Because isn't that a reflection on your football coach? And how does that help your team?
Oh, it's interesting. We love that he's saying it. And then when he says it, you guys are like, oh, he can't say that. That's gone too far now. I think, who thinks he's talking about himself here? He's not getting the respect he is received for the last 15 years of his career this year because of those completion percentage numbers, yards per attempt numbers. He is middle of the pack in QBR this year, which we've never seen from Rodgers before either. All right, we're taking a break right here. Tim Kalischow, how did he get 14 points, Tim?
Yeah.
Timing.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Look at Tim Kalischow. He knows what topic's next. Mavs 120, Bucks 116. This was supposed to be Doncic Giannis, who had Luka out, and this the game Milwaukee streak goes bust. These two threes back-to-back from Porzingis. Very silly and very on brand for a guy the Knicks let get away. Tim, exactly how did this happen and what does it do for your view of your Mavs?
Doesn't everybody want a 7'3 player who his best thing is a 30-foot
shot? Hey, if you can get it.
It worked last night. Now, this Mavericks team with Luka, you know, they beat the Lakers in L.A., they beat Houston in Houston. Mm-hmm. They won three games by 40 points already. Nobody had any idea what they would do without him, but what they found out was a lot of guys get to touch the ball. They make up for it. Not going to make up for it completely, obviously. But on this night, Brunson, a whole lot of.
Okay, remember timing, Tim? Yeah, save that for your 30 seconds. Ramona Shelburne, what did you see last night?
Well, look, I mean, I think the big question was, with Luka out, was Porzingis going to go back to being the New York Knicks Porzingis, where he does everything? But no, he actually stayed within the Mavs system. They have one of the best offenses in the NBA. It works for a reason. Jalen Brunson just slid right in there, had a double-double. Seth Curry went for 26. They're playing a system, and it's translating even without
that. Sounds like you're beginning to recalibrate where you think Dallas might be going this year. Jackie Mack, are you?
Oh, yes, for sure. But, I mean, I don't think – are we all saying that Porzingis is – it's going to be okay for Porzingis to shoot 38 feet three-pointers all night? Because I don't really think that's going exactly the idea.
When you're 7 foot two, well, okay. You're actually not we'll that far away. I mean, it's go ahead, Jackie.
Right, anyway, I think what was unfair about Porzingis is we expect him to be back right away, and we forgot he missed over a year with a very, very serious knee injury. So as he rounds into form, I don't even think we've seen the best of the Dallas Mavericks yet.
Darius Bain.
Tony, very astute of you. It's like when the tall kid plays Bozo's grand prize game and you just lean far enough over and you're already at the last bucket. I actually think, you can't
exactly
really
right
tell that much from regular season games. But in this case, what you did get to see was a team that we've all focused solely on Luka, and instead, you actually finally got a really good look at Porzingis with the new team and what he can do in those moments when Luka might be hurt or out. This was really big.
They're the three seed right now. Ramona, are they going to stay there? Could they stay there?
I mean, we came into the season thinking they were like maybe the team that sneaks in as the eighth seed. I think they're in the playoffs, and I think that they could even be a top four
seed. Although if you're telling me you were the people who thought they could maybe be an eighth seed, that's worth a mute. We move on then. Let's go. Rockets 109, Spurs 107. Sometimes you got to want it more than the other team. Russ Westbrook. Houston, a 25-point comeback. Very on brand for a team with Westbrook to want it more, by the way. Although Harden did not want anything with Murray right here. Sarah, takeaway from the Rockets' comeback?
Actually, your point is a good one. What we expected from this team to change because of Westbrook, fewer threes, defense not as good, more transition points, maybe more heart. I don't know how we get that in the box score. But I'm impressed by this, and I'm mostly thankful that they did it without a dunk that wasn't a dunk and then blowing the lead so that we could just know for sure that they were the ones that came back this time and got the W.
Oh, Jackie Mack.
You know, honestly, I just keep focusing on the San Antonio Spurs and what's happening to them. I never thought I would ever see a team that's 22nd ranked in defense with Greg Popovich as its coach and a team that's forced to shoot long twos, the worst shot in the NBA, because of his personnel. That's what Aldridge does. That was what DeMar DeRozan does. Their 22-year streak of making the playoffs, serious, serious, serious jeopardy.
Mona Shelburne?
Yeah, to that point, Jackie, DeMar DeRozan was benched for the last 4.5 minutes of that game. I mean,
Is there something up with that? Are you expecting DeRozan to be moved?
Well, I mean, if they keep losing like this, then they've got to consider. Mm-hmm.
Tim Kalishaw?
It's interesting that this was the game the Rockets wanted more than the Spurs. Sarah alluded to it a couple weeks ago. They had that 22-point lead, and they didn't want that one that bad. They just wanted to get the decision overturned because of the dunk. This time they wanted it, and nobody can overcome 20 like Houston can.
Buy or sell three, LeBron James. If I'm healthy, then I'm going to play. Ramona, hearing LeBron say that, is that the best course for LeBron? Is it the best course for the Lakers?
I mean, LeBron's always been this way. I mean, Ty Lue, his coach in Cleveland, once told me, he goes, LeBron thinks he rounds into shape by playing more minutes. Like, this is what he believes in. But when it's LeBron, you know, he's not only talking about himself. I think there's just a slight dig there at Kawhi Leonard, and who is the sort of face of load management, who's also in the building next to him at Staples Center, who consistently sits out games even when he could.
Tim Kalishaw, how are you hearing LeBron?
You know, if LeBron was still in the middle of a streak of 8 straight finals, I'd say no. But having a few months off last year, that's like having years off for another human. So he feels like he's ready to go every night, and he should
there's
play.
Yeah, when he's been in the league this long, I think we should trust that he knows his body and also trust that he knows what he's saying, which is what Ramona pointed to, that he is doing this and saying this to win the imaginary individual awards of I'm the guy who's going to show up and be here every night, even though we've seen plenty of load management from him in the past, including like 6 months last year when they were already out of it.
Jackie McMullen.
It's true.
I like the sentiment, the idea of showing up and playing in front of all those kids. I like that, and I think it's genuine on his part, but there's no way. If I'm the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm letting LeBron play all 82 games. We have reams and reams of data that tells us it's bad for all players, even superhuman ones that seem to be the best player in the league.
Anybody know how many times in his career LeBron's played 82 games? One time.
And he had one of his best playoff series after that, though. Yeah.
Yeah. He is at a career low for minutes per game right now, though, at 34 and a half. That is his career low. Sarah Spain, Jackie Mack, we got to say bye real quick. But thanks for today. You'll be proud to have those on your scoring average. Ramona Shelburne and Tim Kalishaw. I'm proud to welcome you to Showdown. Next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ramona Shelburne, Tim Kalishaw, good luck in Showdown. This Rangers no goal versus the Predators last night. Here it is in full speed. The shot, the save, the puck goes somewhere, stops somewhere, we don't know. Here it is from over the net and the net cam in slow motion. Ooh. Oh, Ramona? Who the, what the how?
I mean, I feel like this is one of those internet memes of like, do you see the dress or do you see the color purple or green? That's a goal. So I mean, every time I look at that, that's gotta be a goal.
That's Panarin. The bread man got paid by the Rangers last summer, but he got toasted there by the hockey gods. That puck just stayed right there. A little bit of it on the red line. Didn't cross it. Not a goal. Just bad luck for Panarin.
Ramona, I think everyone saw the dress. They didn't know what color it was, but they saw that there was a dress. Point goes to Tim Kalishaw. Showdown 2. Two splashdowns last night. Westbrook the pass to nobody, blowing up a beer in the second row. Then Trey Lyles getting the ball, blowing up another drink in the second row. And around the horn investigations, the possessors of the beers, this patron here lost the first. And this patron here lost the second. The face does not seem happy on this patron second. Can you be upset when you're sitting this close in a certified splash zone, Tim Kalishaw?
Tony, I don't want to say that people on the second row have a lot of money, but people on the second row have a lot of money. She can afford to get another drink. And she wasn't protecting it well either. She was happy. She was right there in the hitting zone.
She's focused on the wrong thing here. I mean, like, at that point, you've already spilled your beer once. Like, you need to be focused on that beer. She's, like, focused on the ball there, and she's not even, she needs to be, like, hiding it right there.
But this is why you're that close to the action, right? This is why you're sitting that close.
With the privilege of getting beer spilled on you?
Yes! Yes! It's spillage is okay. Kalishaw, take the FaceTime. That's why you're that close.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We missed one record Drew Brees also said last night. He passed Ryan Tannehill in passer rating to take the lead. Why do I bring this up? 7 years ago, I said on this show, rookie Ryan Tannehill would have a better pro career than Russell Wilson. I've had to play the long game. I've had to wait it out. But Ryan Tannehill, the last 8 weeks with Tennessee, 6-2, same as Russell Wilson. It's happening. Nope. 31 years old, but he's coming. Keep an eye on the Tennessee Titans.
Tim, what's the best part of that prediction you made?
The best part. Tim, you cannot be serious.
Timing!